Jesus is a way maker. How many of you know that tonight? That He is a way maker. How many of you can give a testimony tonight that He has made ways for you when you didn't see a way? He's done things for you that nobody else could do. Do you love Him for that tonight? Let's give Him a real good hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Praise the Lord. I know my Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day for me. Over and over again, You've made ways for me. I thank You for it tonight, Lord. Don't you thank Him for it? Don't you want to praise Him for what He's done for you? Let's just give Him another good hand clap of praise. You love Him tonight with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, why don't you do something tonight? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand around you, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Love you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know my Jesus is a way maker. Jesus. The sun refused. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated for a little while we look at our prayer requests tonight. We've got several things we want to let you know about. This come to the library. Brother Danny Marangulo sends this in. I'm asking for you, your congregation, to pray for my sister Connie St. George. She called this evening and told me to ask the saints to pray for her condition. She has a very irregular heartbeat, and they're just asking that we would remember her in prayer. God knows all things, and we just want to commit this need unto our Lord tonight. God's able to meet that need, isn't he? I want to pray for Sister Linda Krager, who is sick tonight, unable to be in the service. Let's remember her as we pray. Continue to pray for Brother Lambert that needs healing in his body. He has 4 cysts that are giving him a lot of problems. Also has severe arthritis that he needs healing from the Lord for. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Martha Ann sends this in the form of a testimony. I want to thank the Lord Jesus for touching me on Wednesday night. For about 4 days I had a deep pain in my right middle lung area, making it very hard for me to cough or take a deep breath. But praise God, the pain is gone, and I want to praise the Lord for that. So somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Terry Horn sends this in to please remember our son Dallas Horn. There are a lot of tremendous changes that are taking place in the place that he is currently residing. Don't know exactly what's going to happen there, but Dallas is nonverbal. Cannot let us know of any threats or any problems that's going on. And it's especially hard on Sister Horn. So let's remember that prayer request on behalf of Dallas, the Horn family, that the Lord would just give them peace in their hearts. He's able to fill a place that's full of trouble. He can make it go away. We believe that tonight, don't we? So let's commit these things unto the Lord. I would like to ask you to pray for Carolyn McIntosh. She's ready to go home to be with the Lord. Pray for Colton, Casey, Charlie, Marley, and Julia, and my mother, Jean, all, and my dad also, Rick. They all need a touch from the Lord. God knows all about that need, not a name attached to that, but let's just commit it all unto the Lord tonight. Sister Sarah Yance wants us to pray for her mother, Angela Hutchin. She's home sick with stomach virus, so let's remember that need tonight. And then Brother Joel Yance gave me this request just a few minutes ago. A senior at Happy Valley High School unexpectedly lost her mother last night, just having a terrible, terrible time dealing with the pain and the heartbreak that goes along with that. So let's remember those needs tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many, many needs in our assembly tonight, but we do know that we're serving a prayer-answering God. We believe that with all of our heart tonight, don't we? We didn't have that hope, where would we be, church? Where would we be if we did not have that hope? Aren't you glad we've got an anchor that holds true tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Terry, why don't you just come tonight, take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. We just commit it all unto the Lord. Before he prays, let me make this announcement. This is from Brother Alray. Brother Louis, please share my greetings with Brother Donnie and the saints at Happy Valley. My wife and I so appreciate streaming from South Africa. Brother Alray Robertson. Well, let somebody say, God bless Brother Alray and his family. Amen. Brother Terry, love you, buddy.
So good to be here. Let's bow our heads. Hill, you pray with me as we look to the Lord on behalf of these requests. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads, I'm so thankful, Lord, that we was thinking about the song we sang, Jesus is a Waymaker. And Lord, it's not just that you made a way for us 2,000 years ago for our soul, but it would be like a father that and a mother that birthed their child into the world. And once they birth into the world, you're on your own. No, but until they leave home, we'd constantly take care of your children. How much more would our Heavenly Father take care of us day by day by day until we leave this earthly home? You're a waymaker for us, not just 2,000 years ago, but every day of our life for your children, you're a waymaker. And we love you for that. Thankful that you've birthed us into the kingdom of God, Lord, and you watch over your children, your subjects. We're so happy to be part of your electric bride. We pray, Lord, for these requests, that even that first request, irregular heartbeat, you know all about. I pray that you would undertake in that behalf. It don't have to be irregular, you can make it regular. You can make it normal. Lord, you have created the heart. You can make it what it should be. Grant it, Lord. In each one of these requests, there's sickness and there's people out of fellowship. There's people that they're not where they should be and walk with God. Unsaved loved ones. People raise their hand that they have loved ones out of the ark of safety. May you just brood over their hearts. And we're living in the closing hours of time. 2 Timothy 3, we just know that perilous times, dangerous times is getting worse and harder and worse and harder, but you're getting stronger and greater and stronger and greater because we have a greater revelation of faith of who you are and who we are. And we're thankful, Lord, for the ministry and for the words we've been hearing and for the revelations being brought to us and the understanding, and our faith is growing and our assurance is growing, and we're just happy. I pray, Lord, just console my dear wife, Dallas. He can't speak for himself. He's nonverbal. Lord, but you can take care of them. You can take care of him, rather. Lord, you've done it for years. I know you'll continue to watch over him. And each one of these requests, I have my hand on. The requests have been read. The needs have been made known. Now, Father, we commit it into your hands. And Lord, I believe you'll bring to pass the desired result according to your divine will. Bless our pastors, the ministers tonight. May we say it's been good to be in the house of God, for we love you and we thank you that you gave us a beautiful, warm, sunny day, Lord. What will it be in that great millennium, what you've prepared for us? We're just so looking forward to your blessings on that other side. Grant it, Lord, that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here in the service with us. Those that would be streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. We certainly appreciate our guys on the platform tonight. Doing a great job for us. We certainly appreciate them. We certainly do. You know, one or two or maybe three missing. We got two or three more that can just get right up here and do the job. And well, we're a blessed congregation of people. We certainly are. We're a blessed congregation. And we're so thankful for what God has done for us. What he is doing and what he's going to do in the future. The world today is a wicked place to be in. Tomorrow it'll be a lot more worse. Monday it'll be worse than it was on Sunday. But I'm glad that we've got an anchor that holds true. We're believing a message that's just as sure as there is a God in heaven. It's going to get us out of this old world. How many of you are looking forward to going home? Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey so far, would you? It's hard sometimes, but it's worth fighting for. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise tonight. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me. I should turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want. Worldly fame, if I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. No, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. you can be seated tonight, Brother Paul Arrowood, and I don't know who's going to help him tonight, but if they'll come, be getting ready to sing for us. Let's just sing that chorus a little, one more time or so, while they're getting ready. It wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. It's been a hard journey. I'm not going to deny that, but I'm going to tell you something. The rewards are out of this world. They're just totally out of this world. Aren't you glad about it tonight? I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it, hear me somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything, all the wealth I bought. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Amen. Right there's three outstanding young people. Amongst many of our young people that are outstanding. Appreciate you tonight. God bless them as they sing.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so good to me. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Oh, it
chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it,
and I don't deserve it.
Still you give yourself away.
Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the
overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Oh, it
chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it,
and I don't deserve it.
Still you give yourself away. Oh, the
overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Oh, the
overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Oh, it
chases me down, fights till I'm found.
I don't deserve it.
Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Brother Seth McGrady, are you in the room tonight? Are you in the auditorium here? Would you come on, Brother Seth? Brother Seth McGrady? Where's he at? There he is. Play the bass tonight for this song. Ask Brother Brandon to sing this song tonight. I love the way he sings and I love its message. We're going home. That's the theme of the bride. We're going home. What other theme have you got to talk about? We're going home. We're going home. Let's stand tonight and help Brother Brandon as he sings this song. Let's clap our hands. Let's worship the Lord a little bit as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. It's an exciting time to be a believer. It's a very exciting time to be a message believer in this hour. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Give him one more hand clap of praise.
This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain and all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Amazing grace in heaven, in heaven. 'Cause we're going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Oh, I want to go. Oh, I want to go home where every fear is gone. My burdens, I lay down my past. I run to Jesus, there's no turning back. Thank God Almighty, we'll be free at last in heaven. Oh, in heaven. We're going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken.
Glad you got a home to go to. The alternative of what this poor, wretched world is, direction they're going, I'll tell you. I wouldn't want to go to the home where they're headed to. No matter what movies you've ever seen, what books you've ever read, even how vivid you think your imagination might be, there's no way we can imagine how hell is going to be. And hell is not the end. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Thank God we've been spared from such. Amen. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon. What do you say? Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. And let me just tell you before I read my text there tonight, you are beautiful. You may not feel beautiful. People around you may not look beautiful, but I'm talking about from the side of what God has done for us. We may have to find out how we got so ugly first and really look at how ugly that we were so that we can appreciate our beauty. Our beauty was not given to us by man. It was certainly not something that we could ever do to be able to make ourselves this way. Only him who was flawless could bring this to us. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies, and then his response to her, thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Let's pray together, shall we? You'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Just raise your hands, your need, your requests, and your heart. Lord Jesus, we count it such an honor that we would be able to be gathered together again, Father, into this place that we dedicated many, many years ago, what we call the house of God. We know, Lord, that from time to time we have to paint the walls and change the carpet and change this and that and the other because it gets so worn with so many hundreds of people coming through having church three times a week. So it's just natural for it to get worn and tattered, and we have to kind of spruce it up, as we'd say. And we look at our own bodies and we realize, Father, that they are getting worn and tattered. And Lord, since we dedicated this place many, many years ago, we've buried many, many saints. Lord Jesus, many of those who sat here then when we dedicated the church didn't have glasses, but tonight they do. Some of them may not have had gray hair if they didn't have much, but tonight they do. So we can see the wear and tear on our bodies as well because of sin. But Lord, there's no way that we can really do a whole lot about what's going on. Or we could go to the doctor and get a facelift and a nose change and a chin shrink and all kinds of things that people do in this day. But we're still 65 or 70 or 80, whatever it is on the inside. But Lord, but we're so grateful that you have made a promise to us that if we are faithful and true, you have a new body for us that is waiting. One that will never die, one that will never age. How grateful we are. Father, as we've read your word now, I pray that you would open the context of it. Reveal yourself to us tonight, Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like for us to go back where we stopped last Sunday on the human heart. Here is a human heart, and I'm a long ways from being an artist, and here's a human heart. This one over here has a snake in it, that's sin. Here he has his life. Here he has his life. Here he has his life. No, I'm not stuck. I just want you to get it. He has his life. This one over here has a dove in it, which is the Holy Spirit. Here, he has a life. So there's two he's and two lives and two separate hearts. right? This one over here has a dove in it, which is the Holy Spirit. Here he has a life. Well, this one here, he has malice, envy, or hatred rather, envy. That's what's causing it, is this fellow here. So inside the human heart, projecting out from this source, comes envy and hatred and strife, on and on and on we could go, the attributes. And what's actually causing it from the human heart was what the prophet called this fellow here. He is identifying it as a fellow, which is a person, which of course is a male. So this fellow here. Well, this one over here has love and joy and long-suffering, and that's what does it down here. So inside one human heart is a snake, inside the other human heart is a dove. Each one of them are contributing to the life of those individuals. Now remember, these are not two human hearts in the same body, or two human natures, as it was, in the same soul. But it is two human hearts and two individuals. And now, the thing of it is, how did this proverbial snake get inside this human heart? Now, watch this in paragraph 9. He says, now, when you ask or you are forgiven for your sins, you only done this. You've taken that away, which was what he had marked down as far as hatred and variance and emulation and strife. So what a person does when they repent of their sins, ask God to forgive them, then they take this list of sins which they have done, if they truly repent. Now you think of the mercy of God, of the multitudes of people that come to Him in genuine repentance, and the Spirit of God is drawing them, they are severed from that part of their sins. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, they'll never have to answer for those sins again. You're talking about the mercy of God. Now the mercy of God knows the majority of them will never become bride. They'll never receive the Holy Ghost. But He forgives them of their sins simply because they ask Him to. But what caused them to accumulate all of those sins is still inside the human heart. Now notice this. He said, you've only done this. You've taken that away. So envy, strife, jealousy, adultery, fornication, whatever it was, you've taken that away. But the thing that made you do it is still there. So guess what? As you walk out of that church service and you ask God to forgive you, then the thing which made you do it is still there, which will cause you to do it again and again and again and again. Now, this is why it can become so discouraging for people who look toward Christianity and they say, oh, I tried it and there ain't nothing to it. And no doubt they did. They did try it, but that was the problem. They tried it. It's not like you're trying Coke or Pepsi or Mountain Dew or Dr. Pepper or sweet tea or unsweet tea or peach tea or raspberry tea to see which one you like the best. It's not like that at all. It's you committing yourself to God and let God annihilating that nature and replacing it with His own nature, which is His seed, of course. Now, so they actually cut it off, and then they tried, and then they'll go right back out. And they say, well, the preacher said I had eternal life. The preacher said I was born again, and I was a new person. And I went back out, and I found myself wanting to do the exact same thing I'd done before I went to church. So there ain't nothing to it. No, there is a lot to it, but you just never went far enough to get it. That's right. Now, that ain't just on the denominations. That's on the message ranks as well. Now watch this, he said the thing that made you do it is still there. Now that's that old root of evil, it's still there. Now you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that He forgave you of your sins. Now notice this, he says, then secondly comes sanctification, which sets our mind in order for holiness to think right. Taking that away, sanctification, compound Greek word, which means clean and set aside for service. Then next comes the baptism of the fire and the Holy Ghost that God might dwell in us. And the fire of God cleanses our hearts from sin and puts the Holy Ghost inside. Now, He will not live there as long as that old snake is in there as well. There can only be the residency of one power that lives in your soul at one time. And of course, automatically, by natural birth, it is the serpent himself. It is his nature that comes because we were born in the fallen race by sex desire.
Now, the next, of course, if we truly repent, we're sanctified. Then third comes the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then we bring forth the same life that this did, because that's in us. Then we will bring forth the same life that this did, which is the dove, because that, the dove, is in us. Now, the snake then is gone from the soul. Oh, you say, but Brother Donnie, how is it that we still make mistakes? Well, it's very simple. It's not complicated at all. You were born with a snake heart. You were also born with these old natural things on the outside. God, by conversion, then takes the snake out of your heart, puts the dove, which is the Holy Ghost, in your heart, but you are still left in this same old body. You'll still be tempted. You'll still be tried. Your human makeup was not changed once you were born again, because much of our human makeup is not sin anyway. That's right. It's just a human makeup that we got. This is why the change will totally need to complete its work in us, because all the Reagan, all the Horn, all the whoever you are, every bit of that will be totally gone when we receive our new body with our new makeup. But already the nature has been changed, so we are the cycle of God in the process of the new birth. Now, how did, as I said, the proverbial snake in the heart, how did it ever get there in the first place? Now, this is really difficult, and a lot of preachers don't like it when I preach this. It really bothers a lot of folks, and I'm really sorry, because I thought preachers in the message were supposed to believe the message. And I thought people in the message were supposed to believe the message, but I found out a lot of them don't. But I'm going to preach it for those of you who do. Now, once this is spoken words original, see, every man, no matter whether he's a pope, priest, or bishop, whatever it is, he dies exactly because he's a hybrid. That's exactly. He's born. Now, listen, now you were born. He's born between Satan and Eve. Now, you say, Brother Donnie, I wasn't even there in the Garden of Eden. By representation, you absolutely were there. Amen. You were there because Adam represented all of the human race that would come thereafter. So we are born, every one of us, between Satan and Eve, and that makes us a hybrid. If our birth was the original spoken word, we could never die. And that's why our bodies, once our bodies are reborn by the spoken word, they'll never die. Once our soul is reborn, it is born by the spoken word, it can never die. It is the original word, which does not contain any death. He was born between Satan and Eve. They may call it whatever you want to. It was Satan and Eve. The original word had nothing to do with it. The original word has life. He's hybrided, and it brought death. So the natural birth in every one of us, all Satan had to do, he did not have to go to every woman that would be thereafter and to get with her as he did with Eve. That was not necessary at all. All he had to do was mar the original bedding ground that God placed on the earth that was to carry man's seed. If he could mar the original bedding ground, then everyone, even though it would not come out of that particular bedding ground. You see, it was the entirety of the race. Eve represented every one of you sisters right here tonight. She represented every woman that would ever live on the earth, as Adam represented every one of us men. So Adam stand or Adam's fall, when Adam fell, we fell with him. As long as Adam stood, I stood with him. Praise the Lord. As long as Eve stood, you daughters of God, you stood with her. When she fell, your human part fell with her. So Satan was not, it was not absolutely necessary then for him to come to every woman that would ever give birth to a child and come to her and do the same thing that he had done with Eve. But if he can mar the original bedding ground, that every woman of her daughters, because they come from her, they come marred as well. It would be as a nuclear fallout, as we would say, that would remain upon grounds. You know, those of you that are familiar with Chernobyl and different places where atomic things, accidents have happened, and they go in and they check the ground, they check the trees, they check the animals for years and decades on. And that is still absolutely a pollutant that is in the earth, in the air, in the fish, in the water. And they check Eastman all the time because of the chemicals and things that's released over there. Now, you see, Satan knew that by being able to do this, once he did it, it would absolutely have been put the entirety of the human race thereafter. Oh my. And then in thinking in his own mind that he would sow the whole thing up, there'd be no way for God to ever redeem it. Ah, but you know what? God's got a greater plan. He only lets the devil know what he wants him to know anyhow. Just enough to be able to carry out his part on the negative side of the law of contrast. And once he carries it out, it releases Father where he can be able to carry out his side, which is always on the positive side. Now, whenever the devil did this, of course, every human being that was born by sex desire, now keep this in mind, every human being that was born by sex desire, no matter whether they was white, black, red, yellow, Chinese, Japanese, American, you know, whatever they were, every one of them would come then tainted with a nature which was fallen. Not only was their nature, which would be their soul, fallen, but also the body would be fallen. Natural death would set the sequence in their natural body, so they would start dying, you know, just a little bit after they were born. So they would, even in their teens or their early 20s, the cycle of death would start moving in their body. Maybe a gray hair in their beard, a gray hair come up here in their head, and they're thinking, oh my goodness, or the first wrinkle. And yet, here they are, seemingly still in their prime. But the cycle of death's already moving inside their body. But before the cycle of death ever starts showing itself in physical manifestation, the cycle of death in the soul will start displaying itself by lying, by cheating, by, you know, doing something wrong when they're a wee little old fellow. When they're little bitty old kids, they'll start living it out. Why? Because that snake in the heart is already manifesting itself. So we are born then, when we come to this world, you believe this, we are born lost. I said you are born lost. Before I was ever lost, I was a son. That's right. I was the seed of God before I was ever a seed of a Reagan. That's right. I was in his thinking. Now, watch this. I love the way the prophet explains this in Invisible Union. Her body is given to her as a sacred trust from God. No female dog, no bird, no other animal, no other creature like that. No, she's the only one. By it, she is the reason it's so sacred. Now listen, sisters, this is why, and I know Laodicea don't understand it, and they laugh at us and make fun of us because we preach that our sisters should dress in modest apparel and not be able to express themselves for every man to look at everything that she has. But listen to this, just to reiterate it to you believers, you daughters of God. She is the only one, and the reason is it's so sacred, she is to bring forth life into the earth. Her body is the bedding grounds of life. Therefore, that's the reason she's given this sacred trust. Now, this is why the woman is given the charge of dressing in a certain way, presenting herself in a certain way, because God gave her that as the bedding ground. Oh, you say we're after the fall, but your body is still the bedding ground. Look at your children. You don't think that's so? If your body was still not the bedding ground, your husband could sow his seed all day long and nothing would ever happen. But you are a testimony that your body is still a bedding ground by the children sitting by you. So if they are still sitting by you, God is still giving you the sacred charge to be able to protect and cover and watch over that bedding ground. So what did Satan do? He marred the original bedding ground by being able to show her. Now I know a lot of people criticize it whenever Brother Branham says it, that Satan was her designer. Now we know that God never called the devil over there in the beginning when he made the woman and when he took the rib out of Adam's side and began to form the tissue and the sinew and the cells and the plasma and all this, that, and other, and asked the devil, now what do you think? How do you think I should shape her? How should I design her so she'll be, sexually and this and that and the other? That's not what he's even implying in the first place. Satan had nothing to do with her creation. But what he did have to do is, after God created her, then he began to enlighten her to how she was made. And he began to show her. Oh, don't you understand why he's doing exactly the same thing today with designer clothes? Sure. Don't you understand, young girls? I'm not trying to keep you from anything that's good and pure and holy. I'm not trying to keep you from anything that would make you look like a daughter of God. If dressing sexy and presenting yourself to the world would make you close to God, I'd preach you off to do it. If women wearing pants, if that was godly and holy and righteous, and that would make you to be like God, I'd preach on you women. I'd go buy you a pair of breeches if need be. But it doesn't. It takes away from your betting ground. And you are allowing Satan tomorrow, whether or not you dress like a man or whether you dress sexy for the world out here to look at. And you've got to find that balance, sisters, to where God can look at you and say, that is my daughter. I'm not ashamed of the way she dresses. And holiness just isn't the length of your dress. It also can be the length of your tongue flopping in your mouth. So some of you got long hair and got a long dress and you got a tongue 5.5 feet long, which is longer than your dress. And it causes me more trouble than all these short dress wearing women. Amen. Amen, Mother Donnie. Preach the word. Amen. That's right. So the sanctification of the bedding grounds, of course, is given to the woman in order to protect that. And this is why her reward will actually, in that sense, be greater in the sense of protecting the bedding ground than the man. And people think that we downplay the women and we run them down. I'll tell you one thing. You don't hear me preaching up. Either that or you're telling lies on me one. I believe that a woman has more to overcome, and in that sense, her reward will be greater in the sense of as far as appearance and hair and so on and so on than the man will. Come on now, brothers. Encourage your wives along. That's exactly right. Even so much that God likens the choosing of his own people to what? Not to a man. He likens it to a bride. Yet, will all that's in the bride, will they all be men? Of course not. But God chose that gender representation to represent his church. He could have called it men, he could have called it birds, he could have called it whatever he wanted, but he chose the gender relation as a woman. In doing that, he raised the daughters of God. He raised their position to such a godly height. Come on now. It ain't the world out here that's offering the women the real liberty. It's the real sons of God. It's the real ministers of the word that is pointing you to a liberty where you'll be able to walk where God made you to be. What an honor it is to be called the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, notice this. He says, her body is the bedding grounds of life. Therefore, that's the reason she's given this sacred trust. Now, here is where you may disagree, many of you theologians. That's what defiled the whole human race, is that adultery in the beginning. So one act of adultery defiled the entire human race. Why? This is the original bedding ground. If Adam would have got to the bedding ground first, and the serpent would have been prohibited from ever going there, there would have never been a fall, because the bedding ground would have been sanctified by Adam's seed. This is why he must sow his seed in her in order to keep God from killing her. He understood. God would not kill his seed life, so he must sow his seed life inside the bedding ground. He could not redeem her the way the Lord Jesus redeemed his wife, but he could save her. Oh, hallelujah. There is a difference in saving and redeeming. So the Lord would do the same thing, of course, with his bride. Not only save her from sin, but actually call her name from the book of redemption. So every child then that is born by sex desire come from that marred, contaminated bedding ground. So this places us then with the nature when we are born with the proverbial snake in the heart. It also gives us the very nature of the devil himself. Now, some of y'all going to get quiet on me now, because y'all think you're so good and so sweet and so holy. Well, I'm going to tell you now, you're rotten, you're a bunch of hogs, and you're going to hell without the Holy Ghost. That's right. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care whose family. Your daddy's a preacher. Your daddy's a prophet. I don't care. You're lost until you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. Now, notice this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, notice he doesn't ask him one thing. He asked Adam a question. He asked Eve a question. He asked the serpent absolutely nothing. Immediate pronunciation of judgment. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now you will no longer walk upright on two legs. On thy belly shalt go. You will no longer stand upright. You will no longer eat herbs. You will no longer consciously be able to clean your food. You will no longer be able to stand up. And the close representation, you see, the very posture that God gave the serpent in the beginning showed by the order of spiritual evolution where he stood in the order next to man. Because God, the prophet said, it was like he was learning more. I do believe in evolution and spiritual evolution, that God comes higher and higher and higher. But not that we come from monkeys. Of course, I don't know, there's some folks I've met that they kind of make you wonder about that. Now, anyway, so whenever God wants to create him higher and higher, it's like they came from one step to another, to another, to another. And whenever he created the serpent, he gave him an upright standing posture, which would be the closest to the man he was next to. Now, it was the very thing next to the man. So God never made him quite like the baboon or quite like things that would go down on all fours, but God gave him a posture. This posture was representation of his position. Now, since he fell and he submitted his body to become an instrument for the devil, now God is going to change his posture or his position. To what? A degrading type of position. This is why that with the coming of the Word of God, that God in the New Testament had to raise the spiritual posture of the women. Now, in the Old Testament, the woman had a very low place under the law. You realize that. But grace actually brought them higher and gave them a greater position in the body of Christ. Well, I figured at least some of you sisters would say amen to that. Well, it did. Now, that's not women's liberation. That's God's liberation, because grace did that, because he's going to bring the church time out of the woman. So it actually changed the woman's place. Now, you imagine in the Old Testament, a woman would raise her voice to her husband, he'd divorce her. If she burnt the bread, he'd divorce her. And he had a right, according to the way they determined it, to put her away. If he went into her and married her and lived with her for several years and he found a younger model, he didn't like her no longer, he just put her away. The woman's place was absolutely terrible. By the time the Lord Jesus came, so he started elevating. Now notice, why would Jesus appear when he raised from the dead? Why would he appear to a woman first? Now, this was absolutely terrible to the Levitical order. It was terrible to the rabbis. It would have been terrible to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, all of them of that day. No king, no man would ever do what Jesus did by appearing to a woman first. What's he going to do? He's raising the women. But not only the women, but he's raising the spiritual personification of that, which would be bride. Oh, glory. So who does he appear to first? Bride type. In the resurrection. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he doesn't appear to those men who felt like they were so smart and knew so much, but he appeared to one who could hear her name called and identify him as Rabboni. That's right, teachable spirit. So, bride type again. Now, in this, whenever God is going to place this curse upon the serpent, remember he stood upright, had two legs, walked, talked, hands, more than likely had features similar to a man, had a place for a soul, but didn't have a soul. But it come, you know, that God making it in the form of evolutions, it kept coming higher and higher. God made it to where his seed would actually be able to cross with a human being so close. He is the missing link that science cannot find to this day. So here is the missing link in the natural side of genetics, and Christ is the missing link between God and us. Oh, hallelujah. Now, then we were lost without God. How's God ever going to get us back? He had a missing link. That missing link would have both humanity and deity in the same body. He would come and span the breach between divinity and humanity, and he would be the missing link which would bring the seed of God back into eternity again. I hope y'all come to have church tonight. Now, going upon his belly is a sign of degradation and of great humiliation. It changes his posture now to where his feet, his legs go off, his hands, arms, as it was, they go off. So now he goes down upon his belly. Upon thy belly thou shalt go. Now, what's then? He's also speaking not only to the serpent himself, but this is a compound thing in that he's going to Satan, who has incarnated himself in this serpent. Now remember, the devil can still go about and do a lot of things, but he lost a great deal of his authority at the cross of Calvary. That's right. What's this in Leviticus 11:42? Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, whatsoever goeth upon all four, whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them shall you not eat, for they are an abomination. So when something then would go down close to the ground, it was a sign of degradation. So they were not supposed to eat it under the Levitical law. Now, even in the millennium, let me just bring this in. Even in the millennium, the serpent will lose its poison. The asp will lose its poison. The child will play on the cockatrice then, Isaiah 65. And the weaned child, which I mentioned to you here Wednesday night, that it looks like those that are living in human bodies will still be bringing forth children in the earth by procreation. And they will be playing upon the child will be on the hole of the cockatrice, or the cockatrice then on the hole of the asp. And the asp will still be on the ground. Now my question is this, I don't have the answer, but in the eighth day, will the serpent be restored off of the ground again, back to walking back up? Well, I've never been able to find that answer, but I guess we'll all see it together when we get there. But in the millennium, as far as we're able to see in the millennium, it is still on the ground because it's still living in holes. And we know, of course, that the millennium is not the full restoration back to the eighth day yet. So it's still under the curse in the sense of its posture and its position. Now, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, this does not mean, of course, that the serpent is going around eating hoe cakes made out of dirt and fried fritters made out of dirt and fried meat made out of dirt. But everything it eats comes off the ground. Now, whether it is a python or whether it is one that would be able to have poison and it would strike its little animal, you know, whichever, mouse or rats or whatever more, no matter what it eats, everyone one of them to this very day are still fulfilling the curse of what God said, because it eats the mouse on the ground or wherever it gets some animal on the ground. And when it will be able to come around and circumvent its air and cut its air off, it does not take it down to a river and wash it and then dry it off and put it up on a plate and eat it with a knife and fork. But when it begins to swallow that little mouse or that bird or whatever more, right? And what is it doing? It's taking in the dust of the earth in every meal that it eats. Oh my goodness. Don't you understand what you eat and how you eat it tells who you are? Glory! You ought to be very proud of what God's done for you then. Because you're eating, you ain't eating on the hog, you're eating high on the Son of Man. You ought to be very, very happy tonight, Brother George, of the way the Lord God has broke his word to us under the ministry of a prophet in the last days. Because what you are eating and how you are eating, it shows who you are. But look at Laodicea. They eat old stuff that's been vomited up and rewarmed up. They eat stuff that's filthy, trash, nonsense. Come on. And it ain't even presented by the clean life of the holy man. But what does God bring to you? Unfailing body, word of the Son of Man. And God picks out men of character, men that have holiness in their life, men that have clean hands to handle the word of God. Why? Because that's what you deserve as his bride. Oh, praise God. So he goes from this, picking the herbs and fruits off the trees of the Garden of Eden, down on his face in a serpentine form, losing his hands, losing his feet, in this groveling position before man. So every man that comes around, he's always bowing before him.
Praise be to God.
So how did we wind up with a serpent in our hearts?
Well, praise the Lord.
Now, notice this in Psalm 72:9. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. So licking or eating dust is a sign of humiliation. It's a sign of surrender. When you're eating another person's dust, you ever get behind somebody and them in front of you in a car or a pickup or a motorcycle or a horse or even a bicycle? You don't want to be number three in line. Why? You're going to eat their dust. Now, God places this serpent on his belly, and he will grovel before man. He will eat dust with his meals. He'll constantly bear this symbol of why? Because he submitted himself to the devil. Now, there must have been an element somehow where he could have either turned down or accepted or rejected, or God will never punish him this way. Isaiah 49:23, and the kings of thy nursing fathers and their queens, thy nursing mothers, shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. Now this is God going by prophecy, going to humiliate kings and queens to the restored Israel, and one of the signs was they would lick up the dust off of their feet. Micah 7:16, the nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be dead. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. So you better believe he likes licking this. Actually, he prefers biting it with poison, with lust, with trouble. Now remember, the first messianic prophecy of the Old Testament is Genesis 3. When God began to speak about how this serpent's head was going to be wounded. But he also gave a prophecy to the serpent's seed side. I will put enmity, Genesis 3:15, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. So you don't believe the serpent had a seed? God said he did. Between thy seed and her seed. And we all know a woman don't have a seed. A woman has an egg. But God prophetically gave her one right there. It would be 4,000 years before that prophecy would fall into a virgin's heart. But God sowed the seed right there. Amen. There will be enmity, amen, between thy seed and her seed. It, which is thy seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise. Notice now what man, what gender this is. Thou shalt bruise his heel. So it shows us then that the heel of this individual, whoever it was, is going to be on top of the serpent's head. Now the heel of this mighty one will bruise the serpent's head, and he will also bruise his heel, which was who? The Lord Jesus. Now he did not annihilate whenever he bruised the serpent's head, neither did the serpent annihilate him, but he bruised him. How? In the consummation of death. So the bruises that were upon his body, the stripes that was upon his back, him suffering on the cross, it was the serpent bruising the heel of the serpent bruiser. Amen. Well, glory to God, aren't you part, guys, you're part of the serpent bruiser plan. Now, we bruise him today. Amen. But at the same time, until these bodies are finally changed, he still has a right, Brother Jim, to try to bite back at us. And he will. He'll do everything he can to get you sick and weary and down and discouraged and whatever more. But there's coming a time, praise God, he'll have no effect upon us. Now, fallen man then has been identified in the scripture and historically as well with serpent characteristics. Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. As soon as they are born, they are like the death adder, which is another snake. So here David is likening the wicked, those that are born, which was all born that way, were born with poison in us like a serpent. Hello? And some of y'all don't feel so pretty anymore, do you? Psalms 140 verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. So who gets on you to anoint you to gossip? Come on, put it out there like all the rest of us. You've got one. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Oh my goodness, I thought it was bad news and we had a snake in the heart, much less in the mouth. Oh, you said that's Old Testament. Ah, but we're fixing to change to the new. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, to John the Baptist, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptizing him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers! Wow, you think, what was the difference, Brother Sam, that he didn't call everybody else a generation of vipers? Why did he wait till he saw the Updikes and the religious core, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and when they come out, he looked at them and called them the genealogy of vipers? In other words, your fathers were vipers, your mothers were vipers, your grandfathers were vipers. Look at the word generation, Gehenna, fruit, that which has been born or begotten of, the offspring or progeny of men or animals. Now, was John actually calling these people literally snakes? Did they look like snakes? Of course not. But they had come to such a spot. Now, apparently, some of these, this was their destiny. They were not even able to repent. Isn't it amazing? He never called the rest of these sinners this. But this class of sinners. Oh, my goodness. Oh, generation of vipers. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What a way for a preacher to preach. What a thing to call people. Why not get up there and say, you uncouth piece of unliterary, I mean, just whatever more, and say, oh my goodness, did he brag on me? I mean, you can use big, high-fang-dangled words to simple people. They don't know if you're bragging on them or not. They'll even think, oh my goodness, John wasn't going to go that way, brother, sister. Oh, Brother Donnie, them old prophets was mean. Well, let's see how the Lord Jesus said it. Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Oh, generation! The loving, gentle, merciful, kind, sweet, humble Lord Jesus? Calling people snakes? Oh, generation of vipers! How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whew. The Lord Jesus again, Matthew 23:32. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents! Ye serpents! Even John didn't say that. Ye serpents!
you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? This can't be the same Lord Jesus of the modern compromising Laodiceans. You're right. It ain't the same one. As far as the Word of God, it's the same one to us. They've watered down their Jesus. Their Jesus, they've totally changed him. They give him a Baptist and a Methodist Jesus. This is the Jesus of the Word right here. Ye serpents. Now the name, of course, he's watched them and he's seen their behavior. And he's seen how that they act so pious before God. And they act so religious before God. But they sneak around like a snake to wait to bite you in the dark. Ye serpents. Whew. Generation of vipers. Oh my goodness. St. John 8:38, the loving, gentle, sweet personification of all just ooey gooey, honey, honey, the Lord Jesus himself. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Look at this word, seen, what it means, horeo, perceive, to see with the mind, to perceive, to know. To become acquainted with by experience. I do what I've seen with my Father, and you're doing what you've seen with your Father. Of course, now they're in this big debate, say, we be of Abraham's seed. We're not born in fornication like you are. Jesus said, I've seen what my Father does, and I'm doing it. And you've seen what your Father does, and you're doing it. Verse 43, he said, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. Whew. Now think of it. All of us sitting here tonight, at one time, a part of us, the same thing could be said. And if you're not born again tonight, it can still be said about you. Boy, y'all are quiet tonight. Notice this now, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. You realize that one day the devil was in the truth? Look at the words of the Lord Jesus, Brother Terry. Jesus said he abode not in the truth. So the devil was the first defector. Should have surprised us if folks are leaving in the message or following their father the devil. Their father, the devil, was in the truth and left the truth. His children come in the truth and they leave the truth. But God's children are truth. They come to truth. They stay in truth because they are truth. Amen. Amen. Abode not in the truth. Now, one time he was in the truth. And at one time he abode in the truth. But he did not continually remain there. That's one advantage I've got over the devil. He can out-preach me. He can out-sing me. He can out-shout me. He can out-do a lot of things. But I can live right and he can't. I can stay in the truth and he can't. I can abide in the truth. He can't. Why? Because I am truth and he has no truth in him. What truth he quotes, he borrows. What truth I quote, I am. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! He was a murderer from the beginning. Oh, Lord, but thank you, Jesus. I said, what truth he borrows, amen. What truth he quotes, he borrows. What truth I quote, I am. Because we are children of the truth. Abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So even when he will tell truth to mix it with lies, it's not because that truth is in him. He's borrowing that truth from God. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. You imagine Jesus looking at them and said, you're of your father, the devil.
and the lust of your father, you'll do what? How? The nature of Satan was in them. And they was as religious as they could be. Now these folks wasn't the cussers and the, you know, all that was going out on yonder. Folks think because they go to church, my goodness, that a religious devil is seven times worse than any devil. A religious devil is seven times worse than a morphine devil or a marijuana devil or a drinking devil, a smoking devil. I try because they go to church, they'll cause a real church of God more problem than the drunk ever will. Oh my goodness. Their nearest alliance to nature is the devil. And think of it, by natural birth, so are you. Not as many amens on that part. What's this now? Oh, you want proof? I kind of thought you would. So I brought some. Kinsman Redeemer. He had another kinsman, speaking of Boaz, that really had the option on the woman first. If you got time that I get to that, well, just get a minute. We'll get part of it anyhow. The next one in the parable that had the option on you. Go ahead and say it. It won't hurt you. It's good for you. Was the devil. Because you had sinned. And first you belonged to him. Because you was, you're his property. So you're born with that snake in your heart. Oh, it'll lay there for years before it starts hissing and quiling up and doing all that it does. But you're born with it. That's right. You're born with that old human makeup of the Yonce or the Reagan or the Bab or whatever morning. That's separate now from the snake that's born in your heart. Right. So it's born, and whenever you're born to the world, oh, my mom and daddy, oh, how pretty. Oh, and she's so pretty. There ain't no way in the world for you to know what that child will turn into. That child may break your heart. That child may absolutely cause you so much pain that you think, how in the world could a son or daughter ever do such? Let me tell you something, friend. Loving is risky business. You love. That's right. So like you can see why people just close and say, well, I ain't loving. It's too risky for a real child of God. We don't have an option about loving. We're made that way. We love those that hate us. There's no way for you to know what your son will turn out to be. There ain't no way for you to know what your daughter will turn out to be. But you'll love them anyhow because it's in you as a parent to love them, and you should. But yet you look inside, oh my, oh pretty little thing. Oh my, look at that little boy, how cute he is. My, my. There ain't no way for you to imagine what he could turn out to be. Because, and that's why teaching alone, tell them about serpent seed, tell them about a prophet. That's good, that's well, but you got to lead them to the Holy Ghost. I don't think we could ever overemphasize it enough. It's not enough for our children to be able to dress right and look right. We've got to get them to a new birth. Amen. Now listen, then. Here we have Ruth and the parable, which is a type of you. And Boaz wants to redeem her. But he knows before he does, there is a nearer kinsman than him. So here's the Lord Jesus. He wants to redeem your soul. But there's one closer to kin to you than Jesus was. And it wasn't your daddy. Well, in one sense, it already was. It wasn't your mama. It wasn't Aunt Louise. It wasn't Aunt Sue DePerrell. It was the devil. So the next one in line that had the claim on you was the devil. How could he have that claim now? How could it ever stand between you and Jesus if it was not a legal, legitimate claim? All you have to do is look at your nature and look at his, and it would identify you was definitely his child. Like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. Now, none of us look like the devil. Well, I hope I don't look like him. I mean, none of us actually look like whatever physical resemblance that he would have. But what we look like was our nature. You understand? And then when we come to the earth, there is that stamp. So this is the claim. We said, hey, this one's mine. 3 years old, he started lying. 5, he started doing things. 7 and 8, he started sneaking behind the barn, smoking rabbit tobacco. Today, they sneak behind the barn at 5 or 6 or 7 and take heroin. They get a gun at 7 or 8 and kill people. That's how far it's fallen. Come on. And then they at all ages get on Facebook and kill you. Their parents, their grandparents, or whatever more. Fabricate lies. Look for it. People don't care. Children don't even care anymore to butcher their parents and fabricate lies and tell the awfulest bunch of stuff that ever was. Why? It's prophecy being fulfilled. Oh, you say they shouldn't do that. They're my child. But their greater parent has more of a hole than even your parental love. Can't you see how they can do it? Their parent, the devil, is pushing them and pushing them. So the one that had the closest claim on you said, hey, you can have her. She's mine. The Boaz said, now, I want to redeem Ruth. He said, no. She ain't for sale. You can't have her. No, you don't understand. I'm here to help her. I need to act as her kinsman. I want to help her, Naomi. I want to redeem a Elimelech's property and all that. I said, no. It's not for sale. I'm the next of kin. So get back to heaven. We don't need you down here, Lord Jesus. Now this is the devil now. Jesus lays out the law to him. He says, in order for you to redeem Naomi, there's a Gentile bride that also has to be bought. Now I want to tell you, some of them's radical. Some of them shout, speak in tongues, jump, run, holler. I mean, they're... Oh, I said, oh, no way, no. You mean I have to get them? You mean Donnie would have to be on my side? Donnie comes with a lot. Terry comes with it, amen. Who else comes with it? Janet comes with it. Charlie comes with it. When Charlie gets back home, Charlie comes with it. Oh, no way do I know. That would mar. That makes me feel like Sheldon. That would mar my inheritance. I'm glad that I would mar hell. Aren't you glad that Satan said, I don't want him on my side. I don't want him on my side. No, sir, you can have him. Praise be to God. First, you belong to him because you were his property. For you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. And he could not redeem it. See, he could not redeem it. So Christ come and made to take away our sins to redeem us. Do you see it? The other man couldn't do it. The devil couldn't die for sins. Because he was the very perverter that made sin. See, he could not. He'd mar his inheritance. Well, glory. Amen. His would mar his inheritance, the other fellow. And Satan would mar his because he is a devil. He could not become another devil to take away the devil, the first devil. He could not become sin because he was already sin. But Christ, being sinless, become a sinner. He could redeem us. Hallelujah. We are redeemed. We are redeemed means brought back. We are redeemed. Praise be to God. Satan is not eternal. I know I've said it to you many times, and I say it when I go out, but every now and then I like to sing, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Satan. Happy birthday to you. And not many more. Brother Bert, we can trace him back. I don't know what day it was, but there was a day he started. Woo! There was a day he started. There was a day he was created. But my God was not created. The eternal was not created. Hang with me now. And if you have eternal life, that life inside of you never was created. It never did start. It never will end. It is from the circle of eternity. Keep this in mind. His present nature is because of his past rebellion. His present nature is because of his past rebellion. Your present nature is because of your past identity. Born lost, born ugly, born without God. Maybe some of you even hated God before you come to Him. You didn't understand God. You weren't looking for God. Whatever more. And now you sit here tonight, beautiful in His eyes. Why? Because your present nature is because of your past identity with Christ the Lamb. God wrote down His name in the Lamb's Book of Life. No doubt His was the first name. And when God wrote it there, identified with the blood, your name was identified with His before the foundation of the world. Satan is a rebel. But when Christ comes, He comes as a servant. Satan was a servant, but he wanted to become God. Look at the opposites and the contrast of the kingdom now. Christ was God, and He became a servant. Satan rebelled, right? Christ submitted. We preach holiness, the world rebels, the bride submits. You're of your Father, the Lord Jesus. They are of their father, the devil. Why? In their sign of rebellion. I don't care how many times they go to church in a week, how much tithes they pay. It's either rebellion or obedience. It's that simple. Can I have a few more minutes? Oh, since the beginning of his career, that's the devil. He has been a sinner. Since the beginning of my career as a son of God, I have been his righteousness. Don't misunderstand me. I am, and you are, if you have the Holy Ghost, I am a professional Christian. I'm not a part-timer. I'm not a fill-in. I'm not a fill-in Christian. I am a professional. I'm born. This is my profession. This is why the scripture said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. The word committeth, we'll look at it, is a life of profession. It's what you do habitually. It's what you do over and over. You are a professional sinner. How are you? Because you got a professional sinner nature. Then when you become converted, born by the Spirit of God, you become a professional Christian because you have the professional nature of a professional God, which deposited into you the ability to live a professional life. Woo! Lawler! 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That he was your own nature. And remember, this verse applies in two ways depending on who you are, whether you're on your belly or standing upright. Those that are still eating dust, this applies to them in the natural sense. To you that are no longer eating dust, you're standing upright, picking fruits from the tree of life. You're not in the form of the serpent. You're in the form of the restored Son of God or daughter of God. Amen. So that he then was your old nature. He that committeth sin, committeth. Present tense, ongoing. Every day you did something. Every night you did something. It was your nature. It was the hiss of that serpent in your heart. This is your practice or your business. This is another word for committus. This is your business. So you as a professional sinner. Don't look at me odd because I said I'm a professional Christian. If I was going to be a professional sinner, I'm going to be a better Christian. So we practice sin. Habitually, it was our practice. It was our line of business. We were sinners. And we were good at it. Well, let me tell you one thing. If you ain't even better being a child of God, shame on you. Amen. Notice this now. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh my goodness, John, are you sure about this? He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God. So now he that committeth sin, he, your nature that you were born in, that's what committed sin, practiced, loved sin, professional sinner. But then he goes down to verse 9 and says, but something now has changed to those of you that are standing upright eating fruit from the tree of life. You have been born of God. Whosoever is born of God, which is not the same person that was eating the devil's dust. Amen. That old man died. So this is a new person. Who is it? The gene of God. Now, as I said, a lot of folks in the message preach redemption, reconciliation, and salvation like this. It's the old man that gets saved. It's the old rotten nature of the devil that gets saved and sanctified. God ain't interested in saving the devil's child. He wants to kill him. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. The Baptists love these scriptures and the message. Folks, just look at you. Brother Donnie, that's a Baptist scripture. It is no such a thing. This is my scriptures. These are yours. Listen, it's not complicated when you listen at it. Whosoever is born of God. So, which part of you is born of God? Is your spirit? Is it your mind? Is it your body? No. Whosoever is it about you that is born of God? Your soul. It does not commit sin. It cannot. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, sperma remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. So wherever the, oh Lord, wherever the sperma of God is, whatever part of you that it's in, that's what keeps that part. It's absolutely impossible for it to sin. It is the very sperma of God. What is it? Your soul. Your gene that come from God. That's what's born again. That's why this human part makes mistakes and you'll battle it and fight it. And sometimes you get so weary and down and depressed. Come on, church. Why? Because this part is not born again. That old battle of yours, that old Reagan part, or that old Yance part, or whatever more, God didn't give that a new birth. It's coming, but you ain't got it yet. But wherever the seed of God lays, that part cannot sin.
Amen. Amen.
When a person is born again, born of God, they are given a new nature. The old husband is dead. Satan's claim. Now, if God saves that old husband, the way some of y'all think you got saved, and that old nature, yours, oh, it was saved, and God sanctified it and reworked it. So God married the devil's first husband, first wife. Just kind of washed him up a little bit and ran to a car wash and put a little soap suds on him and cleaned him all out. That old part which was of the devil, that old man which was corrupt. No, God killed it. But you're not complete without a soul. This is why he looks at you and say, turn your eyes from me. You are so beautiful. You are such a work of grace. You overwhelm me. You overcome me. Praise God. Whosoever is given to close with this is born of God, doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. But Brother Donnie, I have to repent. Of course you do. Brother Donnie, don't you repent of things? I do. But this scripture ain't talking about the real me. It's talking about this old aging church house. That's what your body is. Your body is like a church house. It's where you and God meet together and worship and pray and praise. Let's stand. Whosoever is born of God does not practice sin because he has a new nature in him, and that nature cannot sin. Now, wouldn't it have been something if God would have imparted all that to all three of us? I mean, all three of you and all three of me, soul, spirit, and body. Wow. But that's why I had Peter to write it down. Beloved, flee from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. How many are still bothered by things? How many are still bothered by people? Really? Still bothered. Things still bother you. Things upset you. Things make you cry, make you angry, or whatever more. Why? How can it be? Because only one third of you has got this part. Huh. Praise God. But don't worry, it's on its way. Depending on whether you go in the resurrection or you're here in the rapture, some will get part two first, some will get part three first, and then they get part two. Those that go by the way of the grave, they take part one and mix it with part two in the sixth dimension. And then in the resurrection, they get part three. For those of us who are alive and remain, we take the redeemed body, part three, to meet the theophany, part two. So what's part one? Your new nature, of course. Your soul. If you've been born again 50 years, 60 years, however long it is, that nature in you has never, since the day of its birth, never sinned. But yet, as a human, you probably had to repent thousands of times. Praise God. Amen. Why, Brother Terry? It cannot sin. Now, please don't misunderstand me. This is the part that Adam never had. I don't know what Adam had. I know he had some great things in the garden, but I know he didn't have something we have tonight. Because whatever Adam had, he could fall from and he could sin. God would have given him this part, which would have kept him, Brother Philip, that we wouldn't be where we are now. But the great program of God that it could have unveiled, God put him on that probationary period and give him something as great as it was. You say, oh, I wish I could go farther back than Adam. You're already back farther if you got the Holy Ghost. Lord, children, you're already farther back in your soul. Be Peter said, if you do these things, you shall never fall.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise God. Look what a thing He's done for us. No wonder He can look at us and say, Thou art beautiful. Thou art beautiful. So God comes down, takes that old snake out. Here comes the dove. Lands down inside your soul. Starts cooing. Birthed you. You heard from your theophany. Now the dove is roosting on the poles of your humanity. It's still in the old chicken house, as we'd say, or hen house, whatever you want to call it. It's roosting in your humanity. But it does not diminish its deity. And you'll battle it every day of your life, your humanity. You said, Brother Donnie, it bothers me. Thank God it does. A lot of folks cuss like satyrs, live like the devil. They do everything in the world, I hear. There ain't even nothing in them to bother them. Thank God it bothers you. Praise God it bothers you. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. I hope this don't stumble you, but John actually calls this new nature God's seed. This new nature, God's seed. So the devil had claim on you and thought it was finished forever. You'd never get right with God. You'd never get settled. But God had another plan. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for this great program of Yours. Oh Lord Jesus, all of us can remember back when we were sinners. Before You found us. Before we were reconciled and made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Because those things were done in this body, in this house, many of those memories are still implanted in our human mind. We can remember some of them days to our shame, to our humiliation. Because the imprint of our mortality is still here. And we still deal with it. So we'll go through a store and we'll hear an old song we used to sing. Or we see an advertisement of a cigarette we used to smoke on a billboard. Or maybe a certain kind of liquor we used to drink. Or something that would bring a flashback of those past days. Make us feel awful. Make us feel ashamed of that old life. But Lord, a new resident is abiding in the soul now. Not only has that sin been cut off, but the thing, the old fellow that made us do it, he don't live there no more. He's dead. And we're born again. That gene of God, that seed of God, that new nature replaced it. Thank You, Lord. Oh, no, we don't have two natures. We don't have two souls. No, Your word doesn't teach us nonsense. So we go out and do whatever we want to do, and we blame all the sin on that old nature. The word of God does not teach that stuff. But neither does the word of God teach us that our human body is perfect and that we'll ever bring it to a place. Help these people to realize You are not trying to get them to bring their body to a place of human perfection. Help them to realign their goals, Father. Help them to understand what You are desiring is for them to bring their bodies to a state of subjection. Subjection. Not perfection. Subjection. Where it's subject to the greater life that lives in the nature. And we'll battle it, Lord, and it'll get us down sometimes. Make us weary. We'll get sick. Sad, depressed, whatever more. But yet, Lord, the inner life of the King reigns supreme. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us tonight, I pray, Father. Minister to every heart, Lord. If there's some here visible, some invisible, they've never moved into that place where that old man is dead. Lord God, may it happen tonight. May that seed
May that nature of God replace that old snake. The devil has a claim on us as long as it's there. And we'll act like our father. We'll talk like him. We'll do what he wants us to do. And even though our parents may teach us what's right, and it makes sense to us, we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that and we shouldn't do something else, yet we'll get around other people and they'll pull on us and they'll go to talking to us. And we find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't do. And then we feel bad about it. I'll never do it again. I promise I'll never do it again. And that old snake will raise up again in the heart. And then we'll find ourselves yielding again. Many people fight this battle over and over and over. But Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you've made a way that battle of the nature has been won by you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I imagine when Satan heard you tell Peter that he had the keys to the kingdom, Satan probably thought, this won't last no time. This man, high-tempered, high-strung, all I have to do is get him mad. I'll talk him right out of them keys. Whatever the keys is, I don't understand what it is. Where the kingdom is, he's building, I don't know. But I know one thing, I'm definitely stronger than Peter. I'm bigger than John. They can't even get along among themselves. And Satan said, yeah, look at him. John still acts a little bit like me, and Peter's still acting like me. Jesus got some straight teaching, some real strong words. But I can tell by the way them boys are acting, I've still got the first claim on their nature. Praise God. But I imagine he must have been in for a great surprise when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All of a sudden, dead snakes was laying all in the upper room. Glory! 120 snakes laying over in a corner, laying over the floor, wherever they was. Praise be to God. Down come that pillar of fire, that divine nature of God, dividing himself and filling each one of them souls. Praise be to God. Amen. It wasn't just the tongues that made it so significant. It was the nature was gone. The claim of Satan had now been severed. Praise be to God. They still had the weaknesses. They were still human beings. But now they had been born of God. And that nature would never sin again. It changed them from cowards to men who turned the world upside down. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus, if there's any that way in this place tonight, Lord, may that same pillar of fire drop down right among us tonight, God. Lord, if there's some streaming this service and they've never entered into that place, may it happen right there in their living room, in their car. Lord, wherever they are, may the Holy Ghost drop down, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may there be dead snakes laying everywhere. May the dove of the Holy Ghost go to fluttering his precious wings right in our souls tonight with the deposit of a new nature born of God. Oh, Jesus, we bless your name, Lord. We bless you. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I was reading today with a great world scientist of the cancer specialist of the world. Have now decided defeating cancer is impossible. So they're going to refocus. They started thinking this way in 2016, talking it among themselves and deciding that cancer is so strong and so powerful and so great, bringing people to a cure is impossible. So from this point on, they just had their big rally just a few weeks ago. They're going to start training people mentally and focusing more on the medications
of teaching people how to live with it. That's what the devil's trying to do with sin. My God still heals cancer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nephew from Kentucky. He's joined the Marine Corps and he's going to Japan, leaving in a few days. Wants us to pray for him that the Lord will be with him and help him. I'm sure there's probably no way we can imagine all that he'll face there. To be able to serve our country is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But not at the cost of giving up serving this country up here. So will you pray with me for him? Lord, as Ty stands here tonight, dear God, Lord Jesus, since a wee little boy, when Sharon and Arlie took him into their home, Lord, he's been streaming these services and going to church and hearing videos and tapes and all these things, Lord God. But Lord Jesus, we're asking you tonight, Father, as he makes this phase in his life, joining the Marine Corps, going to Japan in a few days, I pray you'd watch over him. I pray you'd keep him, Lord. Lord, you see the time that we're living in, Lord, whenever there's so much threat of war here and there and there, I pray you'd keep him. But Lord, I also pray, dear God, that you would help him, Father, as he faces the evil, Lord, on the base and living with different people, the different ways. But may the Spirit of God help him. May the teaching, I pray, Lord God, never get away from him, Lord. I pray, dear God, in the name of Jesus, you would help him, Lord. Father, he can't keep himself. He cannot be able to war against the wrong and the evil. But may the Spirit of God, I pray, Lord, so and fill his heart, dear God. Keep him by your grace, I pray, Lord. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Don't you forget, we'll always love you.
okay? We're here. You think we can do for you? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank, friends. Thank what God has done in our lives. Oh, snake hearts, snake minds, snake tongues. We was in bad shape. I said we was in bad shape. But God has performed a miraculous. Praise the Lord. He ain't just made us feel good and just give us a hope of some land beyond the river somewhere. We've already got the deposit, Brother Frank, down in our soul. That land is real. Praise God. The nature of the King is now indwelling in our bodies. And the kingdom of God has already been set up, and He is reigning from our souls this very day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. I wish somebody would help me praise you. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for killing that old nature of sin. That's what it was. It was sin nature that had that claim on us, Father. How we thank you tonight, it's gone, Lord. It's gone, and we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. All we have our battles is the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But Lord God, we thank you, we are overcoming, Lord. If we fall short, if we make mistakes, we just repent. Make it right, and we keep marching on. That's what you told us to do, Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Father. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine.